The Southern Swimming Pool has been making a splash in the turbulent Tynwald political waters, leaving some political commentators to suggest that the minister is out of her depth. In contrast, the minister has suggested that some members are floundering in the political whirlpool, and the whole pool debate has allowed a range of thorny administrative issues to float to the surface. We'll hear later from former Castletown MHK Tody Brown, Southern Pool Board member Barbara Brereton, and Education Minister Julie Edge. But first, Speaker of the House of Keys, Ewan Watterson, who led the charge for the Southern members.
Miscommunication is something of an understatement with regards to what's gone on in the last sort of couple of weeks. There's been horrendously bad communication with members of Tynwald, with members of the pool board, with local authority representatives, and with the public at large. I mean, sitting on a press release from Thursday through till Monday that was all ready to go seems bizarre. So there are a number of communications failures that sort of pepper this sequence of events that I think have brought further distrust from all of those parties in the handling of the overall scenario.
So let's start then. I mean, you mentioned there were two recommendations, one from DOI, one from Department of Education, Sport and Culture. So what are those differences then in relation to those recommendations?
The Department of Infrastructure recommendation in relation to this report is that the management of the regional pools should be moved to DESC. It'll be for DESC to determine how best to manage the regional pools and to make any decisions around closure of pools or seek additional funding if this is required. So I think DOI left it far more open. So this is definitely a recommendation from the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, despite the fair amount of finger pointing towards the Department of Infrastructure as well.
And there are several pools in the east of the island, but the eastern ratepayers don't pay any rates towards those, do they?
So the historic argument was that Douglas Corporation had given the land for the building of the NSC. That's got to be about 25 years ago now that the NSC was built. So they're still dining out on that particular promise. But Douglas, but also Braddon, pays nothing towards swimming pool facilities. Garth and Onken all pay no rates towards swimming pools, where in the south we'll be universally paying a 6.1p rate. In the west and the north it varies, but it's around about 2.5p in the pound on the rates in the west and the north to support swimming pools. There is an underwriting support there of a number of different facilities in the east where there's no rates paid, but seemingly no money for any of the regions, so one of the pools had to close. And again, it just doesn't seem quite either fair or consistent in terms of treatment. But you can also see from the way that the exercise has been done with the report into the affordability of regional pools that there's been a complete lack of understanding in the department coming forward about looking at creative solutions. For example, the South, many of those authorities were already budgeting for a 6.1p rate. That proposal or those amounts haven't been factored for, say, the West or the North in terms of hypothetically looking at that scenario and what it was raised. And if you look at an all-island 6p rate, there's £500,000 worth of rate income that can go to support pools. That's almost a third of the total deficiency budget for regional pools.
I think initially the proposal was that all those paying a pool rate would pay 6p, and then it was left that, well, maybe it would be that local authorities could decide. Well, if a local authority is allowed to decide whether it pays 2.5 or 6p, and its duty is to its ratepayers, and it knows the taxpayer is going to pay anyway the deficit, maybe Tynwald, by allowing for that choice, has created a bit of confusion.
And add into that the scepticism that the department's looking at potentially closing the pool, then why would you throw money into the pool if it's only going to get closed down anyway? So I know that some local authorities have said that they had budgeted for the money, hadn't paid it all over on the basis that if they shut the pool, well, why would we have bothered putting it into a facility that's only going to close anyway? So I can quite understand that reticence as well. So that problem is not really solved, because whilst the Tynwald motion says that the Southern Pool will be efficiently and effectively funded until a replacement facility is built. So far, the education minister is really only talking about a one-year reprieve so far. Yeah, we are talking about long millions for all of the three local pools to have an extended 30-year life. The realism is that in the south of the island, we're looking forward to getting a new facility, something that previously hasn't been committed to, of course, but getting a new replacement facility for what is an old facility. It was built 1978-1980, so it is old, it is starting to creak, but the capital requirement that was identified in the surveys report was 369,000 for the next 5 years. If you can do things a little bit differently on top of that, and I know that some of that work has already started, then that's actually an affordable rolling programme within the already budgeted minor capital works budget that's been underspent for the last few years. And certainly in the 8 years that were surveyed in a recent FOI request, only £19,000 in the last 8 years had been spent on the Southern Pool. So chronic underinvestment. And also, when you look at those deficiency budgets that the department has given all of the regional pools just in order to survive, they've been pretty static for a decade as well. All the while, of course, budgets at the NSC have been going up and up and up.
Is there an argument that could reasonably be put that in times of tax shortages, we really can't afford to have as many pools as we have at the moment?
I think that might be the case if the pools were underused, but that's really not the case. All of the regional pools are very well used, including the NSC as well. We're definitely a swimming nation, and at the meeting that I had with the Southern Swimming Club, it was brought home to me that the difference between the Southern Swimming Club was two places in the Island Games medal table just for that club and the athletes that they put up. So not only are we a swimming nation, the south is one of the strongest areas in that. So the use and the value that are got out of all generations of the pool, but especially in terms of our athletes, is phenomenal. So whilst I could understand that argument when you're competing in a far busier pool of activities, then really in terms of indoor activities, there's enough complaints as it is about not having enough things to do and bad days on the Isle of Man, he said, looking out the window. I think that's not an argument that's going to stack up at the moment, looking at the utilisation of the regional pools on the Isle of Man.
So in terms then of the department's recommendation, which was that they could no longer support the Southern Swimming Pool, it now appears that thanks to new information, some of which that you've put in your report, the department is able to support the pool at least for another year. Is it time?
Let me just address that point, Phil, because there's no new information in here. My starting point for my report was what the DESC had put in its work and the budgets that they had received from the Southern Swimming Pool Board. So to that extent, I was working off exactly the same information that the department had at that point. So there's really not much in it apart from a little bit of creative thinking and looking critically at whether actually all the assumptions that have been put in there were going to stack up. There's not an awful lot new in this. It's just a different way of looking at it. And it's that lack of imagination that's also a cause of sort of real frustration when that report that was produced by government said it was impossible to imagine any other scenario other than closing the pool. It's crackers.
Bearing in mind, we all know that the pool no longer has a significant future, certainly not past 4 or 5 years. Why would depreciation be included in there?
Well, the strange thing is it was the reality that the pool wasn't going to be there for the next 50 years was the reason that the depreciation is so high. You take the value of those capitalised fixed assets, you divide it by the number of years expected life. And because they'd revised down the expected life of those assets, depreciation went up. As anyone with a passing familiarity of accounts knows, that's not something you need to find cash for. And I'm now worried that the Department of Education is going to see that depreciation bill go up again next year because the life will be even shorter based on their own timescales for completing a replacement facility. That'll lead to a bigger deficit and that will strengthen their case for closing it down. But it's not, it's an accounting entry. This is not in the long term a going concern pool. It really just needs cash flowing out to the end of its life.
Is there a case, I mean, I don't know, maybe you feel that this is already happening, but is there a case for a concerted effort, particularly on the part of the Southern members, to try and work more closely with the department to try and deliver better solutions in relation to these facilities, particularly the Southern Pool, but also Castlerich and High School?
Well, the Southern members of Tynwald, so that was four MHKs plus two MLCs who live in the south, wrote to the Treasury Minister 2 years ago and said, our top priority is Castlerich and High School. We want to be part of the solution. However, this is such of a priority and we've waited so long for it that we are going to consider how we vote in future budgets, depending on government's performance in this area. 2 years later, we're not an awful lot further forward. And so this has really galvanised support between the four of us in terms of digging in and saying, actually, if you're not going to prepare to look after a significant proportion of our nation and the education of its children, then really I don't see how we support the government through its budgetary ambition spending it everywhere else. So this is a really important thing for us. The swimming pool has been the latest trigger in that. But still 2 years down the line, we're still woefully underimpressed with the amount of actual progress on the replacement Castlerich High School.
You've been a minister, so you do know that it is easier to help members who are willing to help the department. You sort of skirted around the question that I asked, which is how can the four Southern members, four Southern MHKs, together with the two MLCs, if they feel that way inclined, work more closely with the department to try and help the department deliver on your ambition?
Well, I'd like to think that, firstly, the paper that I produced for the department demonstrates that we want to be part of the solution as much as creating the problems, and that here is a solution to the Southern Swimming Pool's immediate problem. But also, if you go back and look over questions in Keys, in Tynwald, over the last year or two, you'll find nothing other than, well, when's the minister going to engage with local members over the scheme? What can we do? We have been consistently pushing at this, but it's been consistently kept behind closed doors and members that are very much in arm's length. So not only has there been a bit of a suspicion that nothing's going on, there's been no evidence of anything going on, but it's not for want of wanting to be involved and roll up our sleeves as Southern members in terms of getting this over the line, because we know how important it is for our constituents. You know, I've got a 7-year-old. I'd like to see that he has a chance of going to a Newcastle Russian. I suspect my eldest, who's already there, is going to miss the opportunity.
That was Russian MHK Ewan Watterson. We'll hear from the minister after the break. I'm joined now by Pool Board member Barbara Brereton, Julie Edge MHK, and first up, Tony Brown.
I think it's pretty obvious to the public that there's a lot of complacency gone on in the south in terms of political complacency. I know personally I have agitated now for at least 4 years about getting something done to secure the swimming pool for the long-term future, and I've been doing that because I'd heard that things were having problems. I've helped where I can. I'm not in politics anymore. I have some knowledge of how systems work, and clearly communication is a problem. Clearly, commitment is a problem. I know that the minister has said quite clearly that there is a new swimming pool in the provisions for Castlerich, the new Castlerich. And to be honest, I think the issue that government has is that the people of the south don't accept that because of what's happened over the last few years. And I think the big issue we have is that government and Tynwald has not been honouring the agreement that Tynwald and government made many years ago, which was for regional pools, there would be a 2.5p rate contribution as a token contribution from the local authorities who were constituent authorities of the pool, hence why there was a swimming pool in each place. And that's been increased, or they're able to increase it up to 8p, I think it is, under a new order. And government would meet the deficiency. And I think the problem has been that the department has been to some degree under pressure, and it looks like underfunded, to enable them to fund properly the pools. And what we've seen is a deterioration. Clearly, what the people of the south want is a commitment and a clear policy from government that they're going to provide a new swimming pool, and in the interim they're going to fund properly the existing swimming pool and keep it open until a new pool is available. That's all the people of South want, and without that the people of South will not trust government on this issue.
Barbara Brereson, I mean, you've been on the pool board for, I don't know, you tell us, how many years?
I was on the pool, I can't remember the exact dates, but I was on the pool board previously, and I was re-elected as a commissioner in 2021, and I was asked by my authority to sit on the pool board, so I sat on the pool board. I've now been on the pool board since 2021.
So over the course of the last 3 years, you'll have seen some interesting figures and facts which has resulted in the pool board and the department working quite closely, certainly in recent years.
Yes, the department and the pool board have worked very closely together. It became obvious in October 2021 that the pool was facing problems financially, insolvency. At which stage we then contacted the department, and there was an agreement. I have to say that the officers of the department were very helpful.
And subsequent to those discussions, how did we end up in the position where the pool board effectively had to issue a rebuttal of the report that the department used to base its decision?
I'm not aware that we issued a rebuttal. We did issue a rebuttal on the finances. We asked for the subvention. Our administrator, who is a qualified accountant, came forward with the facts and figures, and our projected budget for 24-25 was in line with the 434, which was the subvention from the department. We were slightly looking to our fellow local authorities to pay the 6.1. The three authorities paid 6.1, the other authorities paid the required 2.5. To meet our commitment financially, we had to look at having 6.1 from all authorities. We did not ask for any further funding from the department above the subvention, which was 434.
Minister, then, you have at times looked a little bemused at some of the comments that have gone on. It's fair to say that you are certainly being painted by many as the bad guy in all of this. What do you have to say in your defence?
Certainly, Phil, it's the way that this has actually turned out. I think really for the South, and Barbara's just said it, I came in to be the minister in October 21. We've worked very closely with Barbara as chair of the Southern Pool Board and the vice chair with the challenges they had. She's just said they could have been heading for insolvency. And as a department, I was a new minister in, and I know that my officers and myself have met with the Southern Pool Board. We've done everything we can to support them. I think what really does cause me real concern is that the full master plan for Castle Rushen High School, which I've got here today, and you can see the full report. I obviously received that in November 2022. We did a presentation to all Tynwald members in February 2023, because I did say to my officers we need to be completely open and transparent with regards to this. That presentation was attended, I do believe, by all Southern MHKs. And it's quite clear, if they'd read the report, there is an introduction in there that talks quite clearly about the Southern Pool, its life expectancy, and my department's strategy going forward for a replacement pool. So it's been known, and I actually think that meeting was the 14th of February 23 with all members. So it is quite shocking, really, what has come out of, the comments around the closure of the Southern Pool. It is only a recommendation from my department. I cannot close our pool. We understood the sensitivities, or certainly I understood the sensitivities. I've worked with Barbara previously in my role when I was in education, and I know how important it would be to Barbara as the chair that we were sensitive around the employee situation for the Southern Pool if an announcement like that came out. I'm aware that there is comments from the Southern MHKs about communication. We've communicated in the appropriate way. I've followed all governance processes for the government. I've taken this proposal and papers through the right channels. It's gone through the Council of Ministers for the decision and recommendation for me to go and have that chance to go and speak to the Southern Pool Board, which we did on the 10th of January. So, I think there is Tynwald shenanigans going on. I think Mr. Thomas said on the floor on Tuesday when I was questioned. And really what we should be all doing is looking at the future of our island as national politicians. And yes, the major investment that was announced yesterday for the south of the island, I think, is fantastic. I think it's excellent for education and the future of education in the south of our island. I do believe we have now moved that step closer. We've got the design funding from Treasury. I'm the first in the new process, and the new process, sadly, from Treasury on capital procedures has delayed many announcements. However, I do believe from the way that it's presented by the current Treasury Minister now that you have to go into this project development structure. I'm the first to come out of that project development structure with significant investment of over £3 million to move forward strategically on the Castle Rushen site, not just considering a school. We've considered the whole future of education, sports and culture for that site, and that's the vision we've come out with. And I do want to say to the people of the south, I have bumped into many. I know I've got lots of friends down the south of the island, and they say it's not been clear from government that there is a new school and there is a new sports complex with swimming facilities. It is all there in that plan from November 22. And I do want to say to the people of the south, this is going to be significant investment in the future of education, sports and community facilities for the south. The sports complex will be accessible out of hours of the school to be utilised by the community, as all of our school facilities are.
Is there anything, Minister, that you could have done or that you now, with the benefit of hindsight, look back at and think, yeah, maybe we should have done that slightly differently, perhaps we should have engaged with those people more readily? Anything at all?
Certainly, from my point of view, the reaction that's come, actually, mainly from my Tynwald colleagues, I think is probably the one area that's disappointing. But quite clearly, we know we're in a parliament now that if you give them some information the day before a pool board, that they perhaps won't keep that allegiance to their Tynwald colleagues. Very disappointing when we're trying to change the culture in government, and it really does start at the top of government.
Okay. Tony Brown, I mean, perhaps it would help our listeners if we maybe had a look back. And, of course, some of your long experience in Manx politics is ideal for doing this. How did we get to this position of having regional pools? Because the one in the south was the first, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a long battle went on. I mean, it was my early days as a commissioner. I joined in 76 and discussions were ongoing then. And, of course, Castle Rushen had been built in the 60s without a swimming pool. And it was always a issue that was brought up that the school needed a pool. And negotiations went on for quite some years. And in fact, what they came up with was an idea which the then local government board and the Board of Education, as they were then called, came up with a proposal that we would have a regional pool built on a school site, which would be run by local government and would be available to the children in the school. And that went to Tynwald, and the basis of the decision, which is similar to public sector housing, was that the deficiencies would be met by government through a vote from Tynwald. And that's how it's remained. And the only slight difference in the pools were, or in the pool, which then echoed through to the west and the north, was that there would be a small rate contribution, and it was only ever envisaged to be small, as a token of commitment to having a regional pool in the south. And that basis has carried on from really up to today or up to recent years. I think one of the problems we have is we have now have two departments involved in this, which is absolutely daft. There has to be one minister in charge of it, and that's either the Minister for Education, Sport and Culture or the Minister for Infrastructure. You cannot have two ministers clashing where one has one policy and one has another. And the Minister of Education is trying to get something secured and has to persuade, if you like, and certainly as far as the regional pool boards are concerned, they have to deal with two different departments. That makes no sense at all. The other issue, of course, is that when the now Treasury Minister was Minister for Education, I think we have to recall he would not give a commitment to a new pool for Castle Rushen and the South. He would not commit to that at all. And it's gone on from there. The pool boards have tried to do what they can, or the South one, because the others have been funded in a reasonable way because they're newer pools. The one that needs replacing, we know, is the South. So they've been trying to get something dealt with. This use of the term that the pool will become insolvent, it's not a company. The pool is funded by government, and it's a deficiency payment to ensure that the pool can be funded adequately for its staff, for its operations, its maintenance, and in fact, ultimately, its renewal. The capital scheme will be a government capital scheme. I was interested to hear the minister say that the new Treasury policy on capital schemes is something that's happening. Now, I'm presuming that Treasury policy has been endorsed by the Council of Ministers because they're the government. Treasury are not free agents anymore like they used to think they are. And I have to say, we have drifted back in recent years to an old system where Treasury controlled policy through finance. And we stopped that in Council of Ministers during Miles Walker's time and onwards up to my time. And it doesn't work if Treasury controls policy, because Treasury looks at it with blinkered views, basically. And, you know, the whole point is that the whole community is being told one thing. There's no money. There is money. It's a capital investment. And if we're going to have a good quality of life in the Isle of Man, it's not just a good quality of life in Douglas. It's got to be in the regions. And we are a small island and we have regional differences. And these pools play an important part in our community and in the leisure facilities of our community. I know that from my own son, who's now an adult son, but when he was a child, he lived in the swimming pools in the summer holidays, as did lots of other children, because it was somewhere to go where they could enjoy themselves. You've got to keep those things important. They've got to be at the forefront, and government has to prioritise that. And I have to say, I don't think the minister is really being treated fairly. I know that she's under pressure, but it's a government issue. It's not just the minister's issue. The department has a role to play. But without the backing of the council of ministers, the department can't do anything. And what the people of the South want is a new school, and why is it taking so long, and a retention of a swimming pool. It's as simple as that. And what government has to do is tell Treasury, how do we fund it? And if you spread that funding over, as it would be, something like 50 or 60 years as a capital investment, in fact, the costs are likely to be cheaper than it is to keep the pool open now because of all the maintenance required to keep it going.
Do you think part of the problem, I mean, you're famously keen on ensuring the accountability and lines of responsibility, things like this. Do you think part of the problem is because there are these two funding sources, part of it is local government, part of it is central government, do you think that creates some level of confusion in politicians' minds?
Well, it creates uncertainty. And it also, you have two different personalities. You have one minister who may be keen on a pool, and you might have another minister who isn't keen on a pool. And then you've got a clash. The point is, you have one line of responsibility. The whole basis of the system of ministerial government in the Isle of Man, and don't forget, our government is not elected by the people. The government is not elected by the people under our system. The members are elected to the House of Keys. Then, well, now it's the House of Keys, but it should be Tynwald. Tynwald is meant to elect the Chief Minister. And the Chief Minister then selects his ministers or her ministers, and then they're appointed by the Governor. So they're there to do a job for the Isle of Man. So you've got a situation where if you have two ministers with two different roles who aren't in a party political system, and sometimes even in them you have problems, and I don't agree with parties, by the way, for the Isle of Man, what you have is a clash. And you cannot have confusion like that. It's very easy for government to sort this out. It's an order to Tynwald. It'll take literally an hour to draft up the order, or a couple of hours, and the ministers and council ministers to agree, and it goes to Tynwald and it's approved. So it's either Minister for Education who's responsible for the regional swimming pools and the NSC, or it's the Minister for Infrastructure. It cannot be both. It's nonsense.
Barbara Brereton, I mean, the pool board obviously has been through the mill a bit over the course of the last year or so,
yes,
and certainly over the last few months. But probably more importantly than that, your staff effectively were facing redundancy 2 or 3 weeks ago, and now there's much more positive news. How difficult is that? Bearing in mind, effectively, as commissioners, you are responsible for making all the right decisions. You have a relatively small budget, so you don't have a vast team of advisors there to help. How difficult has it been for the pool boards over the course of this period?
It's been extremely difficult for the pool board. In March 2022, we went to the department because we had problems. And as I said earlier on, the department were very helpful. It's the money side of it. But what I would like to point out here, that we are local commissioners, but we are volunteers. Mm. We are not paid. And a lot of the issues and criticism of the pool board have been extremely difficult to deal with. What you have to remember is that we are volunteers, that we all have other jobs, etc. There was some criticism about the steering boards, that we didn't attend the steering boards. We attended. I'm no longer chairman, by the way. I stood down as chairman. Our chairman has suffered a bereavement, which is why I'm here today. The way we have actually tried, our job, even though we're volunteers, is to protect the staff and to protect the pool for the people of the Isle of Man, because it's not just the South people that actually use the South pool. It's all over the island. People visit all the pools on the Isle of Man, and the demographics of this island prove that you have to have facilities in the four corners of the island. We do not have a bus system that actually allows somebody to hop on a bus 10 minutes down the road, you're at a pool. We have to protect these pools. And it's been extremely at the forefront of what we've done. There are lots of legacy issues which this pool board has dealt with. And we went into special measures. We had to make some very tough, very unpopular decisions. For instance, closing the cafe, reducing our opening hours to 5.5 days a week. We have to protect the core business, and the core business is the pool.
And in relation then to the new way forward, do we know whether all the local authorities have supported the 6.1p rate that's been called for? I know one at least has, Arbury and Rushen, because obviously I'm the clerk, but have the other boards?
We have to wait for the other authorities to come forward. I do know that my authority did pay the 6.1 and will continue to pay it. And I do know that two other authorities have agreed to pay the 6.1. The 6.1 came up at the political meeting last Thursday, where the four MHKs and Mrs. Jane Paul Wilson was there, and there was an agreement that they would go back to their boards and ask for this 6.1. It makes a difference for us if whether we get 2.5 or 6.1, and if we get 6.1, is 55,000, which will help us. If we look at the projected budget for 2004 and 2005, we over the last 2 years, all the regional pools and the NSC were given an extra amount to meet with the energy costs, etc. When we set the budget for the Southern Pool, we took into account the fact that we wouldn't get that this year. So the 434 subvention that we're actually asking for will bring us back even, but it gives us no wriggle room whatsoever. If we get 6.1 from all these southern local authorities, then we've got a minute amount of 11,000 to actually, after we've done all our costs, our payroll, etc. I would like at this stage to say that our staff have been extremely supportive, not always easy, but we have taken difficult decisions and worked on those.
Can I just say, I don't think anybody should get hung up too much on the rate contribution. It is meant to be a token contribution, always was, to show commitment from the local authorities that they were involved with the pools. It was never meant to be a proper funding process. And it can't be, because the rate income is too small, as Barbara's clearly demonstrated. What we need is a clear policy from government, and I'm talking about council ministers now, a clear policy from the council ministers that the regional pools will be funded under a structure which is in place, or amended if it has to be, and whether or not there will be a rate contribution from the constituent local authorities. Now, get that clear and all this argument goes away. You've got the swimming pool board who've been struggling, and I know this because I've had discussions with them, who've been struggling because of really what they see as a total lack of support and sometimes information not being what it should be to help them do their job, because as clearly Barbara says, they're volunteers, they're not full-time politicians.
Tell you, is that from the local authorities? Not providing information.
No, they're not getting the advice they should be getting. Sorry. I believe, from what I've heard, from officials in government. They're getting some advice, not your department. I think, as Barbara's covered that, since you've taken over there, it's improved and it's much better than it was. But you still have conflicting advice from two separate departments and not one minister in charge. It cannot continue like that. So I think the point is, the issue is not so much about the whether it's 2.5p or 6.1, or I think it can go up to 8 pence. The issue is about the major funding of the pools, which is outside of that, and whether there's a contribution from the regional local authorities to, if you like, play their part in securing the pools, which is actually minimal. I mean, it's £96,000 at the moment for the South, I think.
Yeah.
£96,000, and the minister needs, her deficiency is, what, nearly £500,000. Stop messing about and get the structure right. And the minister has a far easier job. Treasury understand what good policy is. They have to fund that policy. It's not for Treasury to make policy in these issues, or you don't need ministers in departments and you don't need departments. The minister determines it. The minister can then deal on a good basis with the regional pools throughout the island, and everybody knows where they stand. And these arguments don't happen. And what it does is all that's happened in the South is the vast majority of the community has been upset. You've got people concerned about losing an important leisure facility, and you've had the minister getting hassle because people rightly focus on the minister when it's not necessarily only the minister causing the problem, i.e. the minister is not necessarily getting the backing from council ministers and Treasury to enable her to do her job.
So, Minister, you seem to be getting a little bit of support there from Tony.
I'm always there.
I suppose that moving away now from what's happened to the recent announcement, which must come as music to the ears of the people in the South, that not only are we going to get a replacement pool, but we're also going to get a replacement school, and the time scale for delivering this seems to have sped up as well.
I just want to say, Phil, and thank Tony for his contribution on all of this today, because there's so much common sense in what he's saying, and the challenges I've come up against as just been the Minister for Department of Sport and Education. But we're in the current existing processes. But I think what it has actually achieved from all of this, and it's, you know, there's not been a lot of discussion, Barbara's had to do the discussions with her employees, I think it shows, and what Tony's just said with regards to the rate contribution, that we do need to look at this further. That's what I've now committed to do. And I think at that point, we had to have a data sharing agreement in place to be able to get involved in the data as the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. And I think now that we can look at this more closely, there was a steering board with representatives from each of the pools on that steering board that have come up with this report. Now, I've sat in those meetings, and whilst we've worked a lot closer with the South over recent years, you know, there's still from the North and the West, they want to retain their pools. So it is exactly what Tony said. There's going to have to be a strong government direction that comes out of this further piece of work. And I think that's a really important thing that has to happen now. I've committed to doing that. The Chief Minister's fully supportive of that happening. And I've said I will return back in June to give us that time to discuss with the board. So I think that's really important. And I think Tony's been sitting in on some of my meetings because I've been saying exactly what he said. Just
fly on the wall.
Yeah, but just for the people of the South, obviously since we've been able to announce more clearly the Treasury commitments, we are meeting with our school community. I've said to my department, I want to be able to put a letter and some, a little pack out to our parents in the South, to all of our parents, whether it's primary or secondary, to say what the commitment is from the education department now and through to completion of this project. We do hope to have something being seen come, development on the site. I must mention, actually, we have invested already in all of the fields for those sports facilities. They are available for use now. There has been some challenges around that with COVID and everything, but they are available. So that's there. The underground air source, the heat pumps are there, ready to go, and they've got capacity to accommodate new school and new pool, and that's certainly what we want from it. With regards to how we're going to communicate that, I've said I want to do a public meeting with our education community in the South, and hopefully that will be before half term.
And I suppose, Minister, the encouraging news, and I'll bring Barbara in a second, the encouraging news is that the new pool is going to be substantially cheaper to run, isn't it?
Obviously, the pool, and Barbara's admitted some of the challenges there. It's been built in the 70s. Certainly we want to build a real sustainable pool for the future that's there and the longevity of it. And what we need to remember is, the NSC has been there. I don't know if that was in Tony's time, but if you look at the investment in the NSC and what we achieved, I think it was for £25 million then. What investment's gone into the NSC since that time has only been recently £4.5 million. So if you think £30 million investment in the NSC and the fantastic facility we've got, when I was in Guernsey at the Island Games, I've spoke to all my other colleagues. They are enviable of the sports facilities we have on the island, and we need to make sure we're replicating that in the South. And I see the South of the island being the start of what we do call regional sports hubs, because it will all be on one site, very similar. It'll be like a mini NSC.
Barbara, sorry, you were trying to come in.
The minister's just answered my question. I was going to say, we're all sitting here talking about the pool. But if you look at the KPP report, one of the recommendations was they haven't built standalone pools since the 80s on our sister island. We shouldn't be looking at building just a pool. We need to look at a sports facility and all that goes with that. It needs to become a destination.
I think it's fair to say that's a long-standing policy, going back at least 15 years, maybe more, where there was a report, independent report done, and it said regional sports facilities need to be developed in the Isle of Man. All of this came from the year of sport, which, as you remember, Noel Kringle went to Tynwald and got Tynwald to agree in 1985. And we developed from that, and the departments developed from that in terms of getting reports done. how we'd have facilities. The NSC being a classic, I was involved in the NSC because when it was being built, I was the minister responsible as we started the build. I went to Tynwald and secured the money. But the point is, there was a clear plan. What's happened is, somewhere along the way, that plan has got blurred. People's responsibilities have got blurred. There's been a change of personnel, and we need somebody to drag it back. So there's a clear line of communication between council ministers, the minister responsible, and the Southern, North and Western Regional Pool boards, so they know exactly where they stand.
And I think what Tony's just said is exactly what I've been battling with for the last 2 years, and I've come forward with it. As I say, the master plan's there. I'm happy to be. I will share that with the Southern community, and it's not just our education. It will be that national strategic vision for sports hubs in the South. I've committed to the Island Plan commitment. It's the economic strategy. It'll bring growth to Castletown if they've got these amazing facilities. And that's what they are, you know, once people see some more of the images. And I'm the first to actually come forward back in time with those previous policies put in by the late Noel Kringle and Tony and colleagues on infrastructure for the South.
And Barbara, I mean, whilst the minister has given us a year's reprieve, and chances are we'll get a year or two after that, the pool is starting to creak a little bit, isn't it? It's certainly past its best days.
It's a very old pool, Phil.
Yeah, but it has been upgraded over
the years.
It's not old. No. I mean, it's old in age, but the equipment's been upgraded.
The equipment's been upgraded. Our staff have been trained up to modern, and the pool works very well. The 365,000, which the survey said was necessary to bring the pool up, to give it another, I think it was about 15 years of life. So £365,000.
Which is
I'm looking at the minister, is a minimal sum, to be honest with you.
Which is about £10,000 a year in loan charges. I mean, it's crazy.
So, Minister, then, what you have committed to is that provided something fairly serious doesn't happen to the pool will be kept open until such time as a replacement pool is built. When do you think a pool actually will be built? Because there have been lots and lots of promises on this, haven't there? And or false dawns, perhaps, would be a better way of putting it.
I have, and I think moving into this design stage, obviously all these conceptual drawings I've got, they've been done professionally, and it'll be great to get those out into the community. But as we've seen with other government projects, if you don't get it right at the design stage, you fall foul and additional costs. And I think it's really important to get that right at that point, and to move forward. The expectation is school and sports complex with a swimming pool be completed by 2030. So we're, you know, it sounds a long time, 7 years, but if you think the structure of building a new school, and obviously costs could increase in that period of time, we know that. And certainly since the first design I seen just for a school on that site, government had invested and put into the capital project, I think it was £45 million, that I believe is still there. But as I say, I'm fighting for all these facilities in the South to make sure it's a commitment from this administration to be able to go forward to see that opened for the people of the South. Priority is the school. That has been the focus of the Southern MHKs in this administration. It's been the school. The pools recently come into the conversations. So, but as a priority for my department is to make sure we are following previous government policy, which regional sports hubs, and creating that environment in the South. And I think it's, you know, you are talking multi millions of pounds of investment. If we think just a school initially was mentioned at 45 million, you know, and the way inflation has gone. But one of the things, you know, just to touch, the budget process for my department is an annual budget process. I do frequently say it doesn't work in education, you know, and the Treasury Minister is aware of this, having been the minister, because our schools operate outside of a fiscal year. It's a September to July school. So, you know, there is merit to look at this differently. We can look at it differently. And I think really it is the start of some reform in this area. And it would be great for this to be a piece of reform that comes through successful for everybody on the island.
And final word then to Barbara. We're just about to run out of time.
I would just very quickly like to say the word you here was for the growth of Castletown. I would like to say it's not just these regional sports hubs are not just for the growth of Castletown, they are for the south of the island and the island as a whole.
Absolutely. So what do you think? Is Speaker Watterson right? Is the Minister right? Are they both right? Are you convinced that we will ever see a new pool in the south? Confused? Me too. Don't forget this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. I'm Phil Gorn. Thanks for listening.